Hey, everybody, what's going on? It's a Haunting Mondays.
Yep.
You guys are always showing up for this shit.
This is a good episode. I watched it twice. I rewatched it again today. Still tried to make more sense out of it. It's kind of convoluted. It's really two stories in one. I have a hard time paying attention to a lot of it because a lot of it's real samey and your mind starts wandering. Your mind starts wandering.
Yeah.
So much like some of the other ones, it's like you've seen it already. And then you go, oh, wait a minute, hold on. What are they talking about now? You know what I mean? So I had to watch it a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, we watched it last night, and, you know, as we usually do, we watch it the night before, and then, like, I take notes real quick. But then, like, we were talking about other shit, and I had to keep backing it up and taking notes and stuff. And so I might have missed some of it, too. So I'm glad you actually watched it
again.
Because I didn't have time to.
I don't really know what to make of this case. It's supposed to be a demon. Because it's demons, you know.
Say it was a demon?
No, but the investigators believed it was a demon.
They did? Okay. I was like, I just thought they heavily implied it was a demon, but I didn't know if they actually said the D word.
Now, how do you define a demon? You know? If you look at the Old Testament, a demon can fucking turn an entire city to waste and turn people to fucking into a pillar of salt, you know, and stuff. So, you know, they're pretty damn powerful. I don't know what they'd be doing fucking around little kids and making beds shake and shit, but they think it's a demon in this story. But there are a lot of elements in it, especially when this guy's a kid. There's a lot of elements of it. Sounds kind of like something that would have happened in my Poltergeist episode back in Mammoth Mountain. Disembodied voices coming out of the the air ducts for the heating ducts in the house, and apparitions, and, you know, just kind of creepy shit.
Yeah, that would be pretty creepy.
Yeah, if I was worried about that kind of stuff back in Mammoth Mountain, if I started to fucking say, man, I hope something doesn't talk out of the dam.
And then it would have done it.
Would eventually have done. I hope it doesn't start talking out of the air duct.
Well, don't say it now. Yeah. You say it too loud, then we're gonna, like, because there's a duct right outside the
office. He's having little conversations with it, you know. What are you doing in there? I live here. You live in there? Yeah, that's like some shit that... Yeah.
Want to be my friend?
Want to be my friend?
No, fuck no, I don't.
It's about this kid, and it's that kid who was talking to the fucking ghost or whatever it is. He's growing up in this house, and then later on becomes a paranormal investigator.
Yeah, on the side.
On the side.
Right.
And picks up a case, and it turns out it's the case is the house he grew up in as a little kid.
Yeah, his mom kind of, like, calls him, and it's like, hey, this shit's haunted.
And, he tries to get down to the bottom of this shit, and he loses.
Spoiler alert.
He lost to the demon.
It was just too powerful. Well, I have to
too
say...
Too much demon for him.
That is just too much demon for me. But I have to say, whether or not this affects your opinion about the verisimilitude of this... Now, the Warrens were not directly involved, as far as I'm aware. However, Bishop McKenna was. And Bishop McKenna was an associate of theirs and was often called in on. I don't think the Warrens, they didn't mention the Warrens on here, but they for sure mentioned McKenna.
Yeah.
And he came to, like, a lot of the Warrens cases. But I feel like at the very beginning of this, because remember I said this is season 5. And they started to make it more like a movie.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, they always do, like, a little flash forward. So the flash forward was Bishop McKenna.
Yeah.
Well, I have to go down to the cellar. And it was like, no, Bishop, no. Yeah. It's like, dude, you know what I mean? And then, did he fall down the stairs?
Oh, shit. So much shit happened. I don't remember if he fell downstairs.
I thought it looked like he fell down the stairs. But the way it was edited, I was just kind of like, I wrote down that he fell down the stairs.
Did
but you? Then, like, a second later, he was okay. And I'm like, well, maybe he didn't fall down the stairs.
Maybe he tripped a little bit and fucking went down a couple steps. You know how it is? Like, you're walking down and you're Joe Biden out. Like that.
I mean, I do that. I do that just regular. I don't need a demon for that. I'm just clumsy.
Might have been something like that. And they just added that into the movie. See, this is the thing about The Haunting when it gets to season 5. They're kind of better in episodes. There's more intensity to the voiceover. In America, there is real evil. You know what I mean? It's like, damn, you know, they got his ass on roids.
Yeah, they turned the volume up.
They turned it way up.
Yeah,
it does have a lot more hype to it. But there's something less credible about the tone. It doesn't have that kind of old school, laid back, chilled out documentary feel to it. That makes it more plausible, you know. This one's going to go full horror movie. So,
yeah, which to me, like, makes it less scary.
Yeah, you have a hard time picking through what the witnesses are actually reporting in the case, and the story that they're telling, and what the director's showing you. Because the director ramps it up. I mean, this one's got cloaked demons with fucking fangs looking at you with his...
Yeah, he's got little teeth that are, like, filed.
Yeah, and I don't think he ever described it.
He didn't really. No. I feel like he did say that it had a hood, like a hooded figure. Yeah.
It was a silhouette, I think.
Right, but that was pretty much all I'd say. I don't think he said anything about it having a face with, like, little filed down teeth or nothing like that.
Well, they thought they saw a face in the damn...
Oh, the orb.
The orb.
Yeah, we'll get
but
to that.
But he goes to the, you know... Does, I've seen fucking Poltergeist. She's fucking seen RSPK. Telekinesis and shit. Not really telekinesis. What do you call it? Recurrent spontaneous telekinesis. In the form of, like, poltergeist type phenomenon. And I've never fucking been convinced by any kind of damn orb. Any photograph of orb.
Because there's a million other things that could be.
That's dust.
Yeah.
And one of them is this fucking cigarette smoke in front of the camera flash. The dude's smoking who take the pitch, he takes the picture.
Yeah.
And the fucking smoke
look, it's a ghost.
Look, it's a ghost. No, dude, you were smoking.
Yeah, that's called the flash reflecting off the smoke particles.
Smoke particles. So,
optics, bitch.
Yeah. I'm real skeptical of... I'm just non-believer when it comes to orbs. And I'm skeptical of most of the paranormal photographs I've seen. And I'm skeptical of EVPs. Most of the EVPs I heard are just kind of questionable. It's open to interpretation. It's not real rock solid.
Now, Steve had a couple of them that were pretty creepy.
Yeah.
But I think the one or two that I heard of his that I was like, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm just like, I don't even hear what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So.
Steve says there's something to him. Yeah. We're talking about Steve Merritt, a British parapsychologist that we know. Jenny's written a few books with him. And he's had some fucking weird EVPs. But the claims, he does not make fucking... far out claims with the EVPs that he has. It's just an anomalous fucking voice. We think it says this. We don't know. That's that kind of stuff. Some of the stuff has to be really magnified fucking thousands of times. There's no telling, you know.
That's what I mean. The more times you have to turn it up, I'm just like, it's got to be bullshit. I mean, you know what I mean?
But he would get all kinds of audio phenomenon. Something falling on the ground and he'd record the sound of it. There was a remote recording device there. And I think it was a clock that fell off the wall.
Yeah, it was like a light, like a one of those lights that you stick up on the wall.
Is that a stick 'em light?
Right, yeah.
And when it hit the ground, it gave a certain audio signature with certain decibels and everything. And he knew that it was the sound of that light falling. But he would drop that light over and over again and try to get that same signature and couldn't. The one that the poltergeist or ghost fucking threw or dropped or whatever, it was unusually loud, which that checks out with poltergeist phenomena.
It was like the same sound signature, but it was like way louder.
Yeah, it's like when the remote hit the ground, it sounded like it was fucking loud, man, like a brick hit the ground, boom.
Yeah, even but though it's just a little like plastic, a little rattly piece of plastic.
And then you throw it, it's just tink.
Yeah,
you know.
But it was like, well, and it didn't even, and it didn't bounce. Normally it would bounce. It just went boom. Like that.
Yeah, like a force had it. Yeah, it was like a force.
Yeah, it was like pretty weird.
Pulled it through the ground, almost like magnetic, boom.
It was pretty weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really loud. And that was something that I remembered, like I said, because of Steve saying that about that light. That was at what's-his-face's house, right? Keith
Linder.
Keith Linder's house.
Yeah, Jenny wrote a book about it, House of Fire and Whispers.
Yeah.
It's just based on the investigation that Steve Merritt did.
Yeah, it wasn't really based so much what Keith Linder said. Well, it was a little bit, but it was mostly like about Steve's invest because he was there for a few weeks.
Some of Keith Linder's testimonies in it.
Because I think he wrote a book later too,
right?
Like, with his own.
And if you ask me, I think Keith Linder got driven crazy by that phenomenon. He just started reading into it.
He got obsessed with it.
He got obsessed with it,
which I get. That's understandable.
Yeah. I think he started making stuff up, or imagining stuff, maybe is a way to put it. I don't know. But Steve went there to investigate it and found some anomalies.
Yeah, some weird shit did happen when he was there, for sure.
But they weren't quite what Steve Linder was saying. They just found some anomalies.
Yeah. Yeah, there was nothing like super
audio
outrageous, but like some pretty weird shit did happen like while he was there. But I think it had kind of, I mean, at least according to Keith Linder, it had kind of like
it had kind of died down by,
died down by the time Steve got there. Yeah. But he was there for, well, he stayed there, didn't he, for a while.
I think so.
So he flew over from Britain like and investigated that shit like way over to Seattle. But yeah, I think we did a show about it. Didn't we do a show about it?
I think so, yeah.
Probably. Zach says, I've been down a rabbit hole of YouTube videos on 4chan horror stories all afternoon. Might make a cool show topic. Yeah, it might. What are these just the ones where like the guy's like reading the horror stories from 4chan? Because I listen to those sometimes too. But yeah, so you want to get back to Nightmare on Bridgeport, I guess?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, we're still talking about paranormal.
It's all paranormal stuff.
So it's fine.
It's related.
We're not too far off topic. No. Like, not that that would be any different, but you know what I mean.
Well, some of the phenomena reported in this case would have been pretty impressive, you know what I mean, to see. It doesn't quite fit normal patterns that I would look for, but, you know, it's just a story.
Yeah. So, whether or not Bishop McKenna fell down the stairs or tripped down the stairs or whatever the fuck, they just made this big deal about it because it was like the flash forward. You'll see that scene, like, later on. And then it goes 40 years earlier. So, obviously, because it's a Nightmare in Bridgeport. Bridgeport is in Connecticut, which I feel like most people know. So, the first part of this story takes place in 1962. And I guess they start out with the mom, whose name was Dorothy Baker, and her husband, Francis. And they live in this... It's them, and, like, they have two kids, Bobby and Robin. And then Bobby, you know, he grows up, and he becomes the paranormal investigator later on. So, like I said, this is, like, 40 years ago, and then, like, more recently. So, this house was built by Dorothy's dad, granddad? Something like that. Or some of the family members. Like, they had bought the land a long time ago, like, in the 20s or something, and, like, built the house. So, and then the parents, like, still live next door, like, presumably on the same property. So, Francis, the husband, I guess he was a Marine, and he works for an airline manufacturer, and then he gets, like, another job later on, and Dorothy is, you know, a homemaker. She takes care of the kids or whatever. So, like I said, Bobby and Robin are the kids, and Bobby, I guess, is the older one, and Robin doesn't really factor into it. I guess she was a little girl, but I don't think she wasn't on the show or anything like that. So they said it was very, very typical upbringing, very typical family, whatever. However, one afternoon while they're at this house, Bobby and Robin are playing outside in the yard, and Bobby sees this creepy dude, like, walk out from behind a tree and kind of, like, look at him. Yeah. And he's just kind of like, what the, like, who's that? Like, he says to his sister, and she's like, who's who? What are you talking about?
Yeah, they shot it real well. It is kind of creepy.
It is pretty creepy.
This dude's just kind of glaring at the kids from a distance.
Right.
Like some out of the Twilight Zone. They're looking, and he goes, do you see it? And the little girl goes, I don't see what you're talking about. He said, that man. He goes, I don't,
she's
there's
like,
there.
What man? Are you high?
Right, so she starts making fun of him that he's seeing the invisible man. But he
saw. She's like, I don't have time for this now.
Threatening him. He just said, no, he didn't do anything. He just stood there. He said he could feel, like, you know, that there was something bad about the guy.
Yeah, even though he didn't do anything except look at him. So, apparently, like, Bobby tells his mom, like, about it. And then Robin, of course, is just like, he's saying things. You know what I mean? She's like, you know, like little sisters do. And so Bobby got very frustrated that apparently no one could see this man but him. And his mom didn't really believe him either, but she did say that it was kind of very out of character for him to be, like, making shit up like that. So she did kind of take note of it. So apparently later that same day, Bobby's in his room, and he's, you know, playing with his little army men or whatever, and he hears this real creepy voice, like, calling to him from, like, the vent, like, the heating vent or whatever that's in his room. And he says, I don't know how old he was exactly, but he's like, I guess it didn't really, maybe like 8 or 9. I guess it didn't really occur to me that it was, like, weird, so I just started talking back to it.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you would. Like, if you were a kid, you're just like, whatever. Somebody's
talking.
Well, no, I think I'd have been like, fuck this.
Like, I'm not talking to the fucking devil. The devil's talking to me.
Mom, the devil's talking to me.
Ghost is talking to me through the fucking vent, to the vents. I didn't really quite. I don't think he kind of described it the way it really happened.
Maybe not, because you would think if there was like a weird voice like talking to you from out of the vent, you would like shit your pants.
I think that's what actually happened.
I don't think like some kid, even a little kid, would be like talking back to it like it was normal. But that's kind of the way he came across when he talked about it.
That's probably how he remembered it. Oh. If that happened, I'm not saying it did happen, but if it did happen, there's a chance that it scared the shit out of him and that it intimidated him into becoming its friend. And he started talking to it.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
Like, you better and talk then to me, little boy.
Yeah, and then he may have forgotten that he got intimidated into talking to it because it didn't do anything bad to him right away.
Yeah, I guess not. Okay, yeah, so he acted like it was totally normal, and he's just like, oh, I just thought the voice was coming from the basement. And I was like, and that didn't alarm you? Why?
Yeah, that there's not a man in the basement?
I mean, I would be shitting bricks if I thought there was a man in the basement that I didn't know about. We don't have a basement, but I'm just saying. So,
I think it freaked him out at first, and then he just kind of adapted to it.
It's like, oh, the devil's
talking. That would have scared the shit out of me. I don't care, you know.
yeah, right.
That scared the shit out of me at six. I was like, oh, fuck no. Hell no. I'm not talking to Yosemite Sam on his fucking Spanish galleon.
That he's full of hot strawberry jam.
No, it's filled with that fucking hot cherry pie.
That's right.
Caution,
Yosemite Sam's filling is hot.
It's hot, yeah.
People are like, what the fuck are you talking about? We've told that story before, but I don't know if people like remember it.
No, man. I had a dream when I was a little kid. I dug a big ravine in the front yard and filled it up full of water, and I was putting toy boats in it. And walked around like I was Godzilla. Crunching things.
Like you do.
Yeah, and looked upstream, and fucking here comes a big old Spanish galleon. Like, where the fuck did that come from? About 3 feet long. And I'm looking at this thing, this beautiful model ship, and I'm looking at it, and I get down, and fucking Yosemite Sam, about 5 inches tall, jumped up and started shooting at me. Going, dang, damn it.
And I was
like, whoa. And I reached down and grabbed him and bit him on the top of his head, and it went right, because I thought I was Godzilla, and fucking went right through it, like the cherry pie filling, and it was hot. It burned my fucking mouth. Right out of McDonald's. That's about six when I remember that. I threw the fucking...
fucking Yosemite Sam.
Yeah.
Who knew he was
full of? I couldn't process blood. I didn't want it to be like blood and gore. So I took the next leap to soften that in my mind.
So it was like McDonald's cherry pie.
It was just McDonald's cherry pie filling, but it was hot.
Right.
It was
like, Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's why you... Because it sounds weird, like, when you first say it, but when you say it like that, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make total sense that Yosemite Sam was on a Spanish galleon in your yard.
Yeah. Shooting at me.
Shooting at you.
Yeah. And he wasn't a cartoon.
Oh, really? You never told me that. I was imagining that he was, like, animated.
No, he wasn't a cartoon. He looked just like a cartoon, but he was like a...
Like three-dimensional?
Oh, yeah, he's three-dimensional. He had fur and hair and fucking clothing and everything. And guns.
Cute.
Yeah, but he looked just like the cartoon.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
It looked kind of like those, you know, like the claymation.
That's what I was imagining.
Yeah.
That's what I was imagining.
Yeah, it's not really claymation, the ones that look the Hollywood movies.
Like this CGI. Yeah.
And all that, it's like that.
Yeah, that wasn't clay. That was...
Little dolls.
Like little dolls, like armature. Yeah. Like the, what the fuck? Rankin Bass.
Yep.
What? What's the matter?
We gotta get back to the ghost.
She's purring back there.
Pookie's complaining.
Yeah, she's... yeah, so...
We can be on the show.
You're gonna be on the show, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, you can be on the show.
You gonna sit still?
Relax.
Okay, just chill out. Okay. yeah, stop motion. Thank you. I could not think of that phrase to save my life. So he hears this voice coming from the vent saying, you know, are you down in the basement? And he's like, yeah, I live down here. He's like, want to be my friend? And I'd have been like, kid's like, oh, sure. Yeah, okay. So he does, I guess he tells his mom about some of this stuff, but she thinks he's just imaginative, you know. So in the next scene, grandma shows up, because remember I said the parents like lived in the next house over or whatever. So apparently she comes over to like help watch the kids because Francis, the dad, he's working two jobs and he's never home. Now grandma, for whatever reason, she's like, here kids, gather around, we got cookies and tea and all this other stuff. But grandma's gonna tell you a story. The story is about when grandpa first bought this land back in the day and started building this house. It's like, you know, when they were digging the foundation for this house, guess what they found? Human bones. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's probably not an appropriate thing to be telling, like, little kids, but okay.
Just old people.
they don't give any fucks.
They're like, fuck them little kids.
Hopefully they wet the bed tonight. Yeah. They're going to have nightmares. But yeah, so she's like, basically, I love this. She's like, so Grandpa, they find bones underneath. I thought the implication was that it was just one skeleton, but then later on it's kind of implied that maybe it was two. They found human bones, and because they didn't want to stop working on the house, so they're like, we're just gonna like put those back where they were, and we're not gonna tell anybody. So they didn't tell the authorities or anything, because, you know, Grandpa reasoned, you know, pretty logically, I guess, that it's like, well, they're dead, so who cares? Yeah. And then Grandma had to, like, kind of back it up a little bit and justify it a little bit more. Well, you have to understand it was almost winter time, and, like, if they didn't get the foundation dug, then they'd have to wait all season and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, whatever. So they just didn't want to, like, you know, tell anybody about the body. So they
just thought it was Native American bones.
Yeah, know, so they're just like, just throw it back in the hole. We're just going to pretend we didn't see that.
There are old cemeteries long forgotten.
Yeah. I mean, technically, I guess if you find bones, you're always supposed to call, because it could be a murder victim, so you, like, you don't know.
Yeah.
But, they didn't. Now, the mom comes in at this point, is like, Grandma, why are you, well, you know, it's not her grandma, it's her mom, obviously, but she's just like, why are you telling the kids that? It's like, they're going to have nightmares and stuff. She didn't seem too upset about it, though. Grandma's like, what? You know, I do what I want, right, pretty much. Grandma gives no fucks. So, for the next several months, apparently, Bobby has been talking to his imaginary friend. He never did give him a name, though, did he? I didn't write it down, anyway.
Mr. Hankey.
Who lives in the vent.
Yeah. You can smell it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Those little stink lines coming out. But, it's like fucking Pepe Le Pew or something. Or Pigpen. So his mom, like, just gets used to it. She's just like, whatever. I guess he's just got an imaginary friend. Now, there was also a scene, too, where, like, the phone rang. They didn't really go too much into this, but the phone rang, and then the mom answered it, and it heard, like, a weird, creepy sound. You know how in movies when, you know, there's a ghost afoot, and, like, somebody, and the phone rings, and you pick it up, and they're like, you know, like, that weird kind of sound on the phone?
Yeah.
So she hears that. And then she goes back in the living room, and Bobby is suddenly, like, disappeared. And she's like, where the fuck did that kid go? You know what I mean? And then she's, like, looking all around, and then she finds him hiding behind the couch. And she's all like, what are you doing back here? And he's like, I'm hiding from my friend. Because apparently the friend that he had been playing with all of these months that had been, he used the term playful up to this point, even though it didn't sound really playful from the beginning. It sounded, like, really ominous. But apparently turned malevolent and said that he was trying to push Bobby into doing bad things. That's pretty much all they said about it, though, because I don't know. Apparently the demon was never successful in getting Bobby to do any bad things because he didn't bring that up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't really know what bad things he was trying to talk him into doing.
Full man said I could.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't peeing in the closet or trying to squish the kitty or anything that. So thankfully.
Yeah.
But he didn't really say that he did anything bad. So he was, like, resisting the shit, I guess. Also, a little while later, Bobby's in his room sleeping. And then there's kind of like this white flash of something or other. And then he goes to the window to see what it is. And the window's open. And then he sees all the laundry is, like, hanging out on the line. And it starts acting like one of the things, like, starts blowing really weird, like, unnaturally. And then it comes off and it, like, flies in the window at him. So he's, like, attacked by a sheet. Right. So the demon's, like, trying to kill him with a sheet, which, you know, seems a little...
Yeah.
That seems a little lame for a demon. Whispering Bobby's name, and it's like, oh, I'm going to kill you with a sheet. I'm like, oh, okay.
Went straight Klansman on him.
I guess he did.
Put this on!
Maybe that's what he was doing. Maybe that's one of the bad things that he was trying to talk him into doing.
Yeah. Once you put this sheet
in the Klan.
Yeah. Once you get this big cross.
Yeah. Right? That's what the demon...
Dip that down in some gasoline.
That's what the demon was trying to get. Maybe that's why they didn't go into specifics. But his little kid, like, in a little bitty clan.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Walker, if anybody asks you your name, you tell them you're the Grand Wizard.
Jesus Christ.
Chief of the Great Cyclops.
So, yeah. So the sheet's in there suffocating the kid, and he's screaming his little head off. So the next morning, the mom, probably thinking that Bobby is losing his fucking marbles, calls a doctor to come have a look at this kid, because what the fuck? You know, the kid's not sleeping, doesn't have any energy, stuff like that. Now, the doctor looks at him and says, you know, there's nothing physically wrong with the kid. Maybe he's just crazy. No, she doesn't say that. So a few weeks later, Bobby and the mom are, like, sitting at the table, like, in the kitchen. And mom asks him to go to the cellar to get some jars, because she's doing some jam and stuff like that. But, he said, and they didn't really do, like, a lot of build-up to this, but he said he was, like, really terrified to go down to the cellar because I guess he thought that that's where the voice was coming from. At least he perceived it, so he was, like, scared to go down there. So he was basically like, Mom, I don't want to go down to the cellar. And she's like, would you quit being such a pussy? Like, put your big boy pants on and get your ass down there and get me a jar. So he goes down there, and then he hears, like, that shadow that voice, like, kind of calling his name and like, Bobby, be my friend, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then, like, he looked over and apparently he saw the thing. I mean, that's what right? I mean, yeah. He said that he saw it.
Said he saw it.
Like, the hooded scary man, like, saw standing in the corner.
Yeah.
But then I put, in my notes right here, I put, Bobby drops his nuts.
That's right.
That's
what little nuts he had.
Yeah, the kid was like 8 or something.
So
like
they're not even dropped yet.
Well, they dropped that day.
They dropped that day. When you fight a fucking demon, you automatically become a man.
I mean, I kind of feel
nuts
like
dropped
that's
a good...
Nut. Yeah. So he's saying, like, his kid self... All he had to do was go down to the cellar. He did, like, drop the jar because he was scared and stuff. But he basically said, I decided I wasn't going to take it anymore. And I just, like, sort of just like, I'm not afraid of you, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, and the demon was like, oh, uh-oh, you know what I mean? So I guess that got rid of the demon.
He threw something at it.
Oh, he threw the jar at it.
Threw
that's
a jar
right.
at it, yeah.
Okay, so that wasn't watching.
And it hit the wall behind it. Hit the wall behind
it. And the demon was like, oh.
And it kind of dissipated.
I am defeated.
And then his mom came down and said, why did this glass break? And he was pissed off. You know, I'm fighting this fucking demon down here. God
She's like,
it.
Sure you are, honey.
Yeah, yeah.
You just didn't want to get the jar, and you just, like, are being ass about it.
Too much Dungeons and Dragons.
This was maybe before Dungeons and Dragons, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I think this was the 60s.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, this was before Dungeons and Dragons was invented.
Monster Manual.
Yeah. So he was just getting ideas
read the
on.
Fiend Folio. His mind had not been twisted.
By the evil of D&D.
Yeah, to make your imagination run wild. It'll systematize all of your fucking ideas about monsters. How strong are monsters? See, when you're a kid, you just think, yeah, a monster's a monster. But how strong is one monster compared to another monster, and how strong are they compared to people?
Yeah, and, like, what happens if they fight?
And how do you fight them? So, you know, that's what D&D was all about, is to put those goddamn monsters in perspective. Okay? And when you're a young kid, man, fucking, that's awesome. You now have a way of fucking systematically organizing.
It's monster cladistics.
Monsters that you're afraid might exist. You know?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, apparently just a little kid... you know, standing up for himself and throwing a jar at the demon dissipated the demon for 40 years. Yeah. So, not bad. I mean, the kid did better, spoiler alert, later on than the paranormal investigators and the bishop did. So, you know, gotta give him something there.
Kid, nuts intact.
Right.
Yeah.
So he says nothing happened again for the next 40 years. And he just lived a normal kid life and grew up as kids do. So Bobby ends up growing up and becoming a child safety specialist. And on the side, he's a paranormal investigator because, you know, a lot of these people that have these kind of experiences as kids become paranormal investigators. They say they want to help other people and stuff. So it was called Connecticut Paranormal Investigators, I guess, was the name of it. So Bob is visiting his parents at the same house that he grew up in. Now, he's helping them take care of his dad, Francis, because his dad got Parkinson's and, like, he had dementia. Now, dad they're kind of walking him through the living room one day, and he gets this really terrified look on his face, and I guess he told them that he saw two people sitting on the couch, like a man and a woman. And obviously nobody else saw them. So obviously they just attributed this to dementia. They thought that he was like hallucinating or like seeing stuff, but you know, maybe not. We see how that goes later on. So dad passes away finally, and Dorothy, the mom, now lives in the house by herself, which she has never done before, obviously, because her and her husband have been married for a very long time. So she's kind of like, she starts hearing whispering around the house. She said it sounded like a conversation on a TV or a radio, but one that was like really, really far away.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy when she said that.
Yeah, that's. I thought that was creepy too.
So it's a little shit that creeps me out.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. I'm always like way creeped. Like I said, the when they show like ooh demon face and stuff with fangs, and I'm just like, yeah. Meh, it's just not. I mean, yeah, if you saw that in real life, yeah, that'd be scary. But it's just like I don't know. In a movie, it's not really that scary. Subtle shit is scarier to me. I don't know why. It just is.
And that matches up more with the experiences I've had with what people would call the paranormal. For me, it's just kind of normal, but fucking, it's subtle, but it's real. Yeah. Like out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, dreaming true, having premonitions, poltergeist, finding bad houses that I guess they might be haunted. You don't know. But it's just it's a bad house. Something watching you. It's subtle.
They didn't really mention feeling watched in this house.
Yeah, they didn't, yeah.
That was one of the few that they didn't really say that. So the mom hears this, and she's like, at first, she was weirded out, but she wasn't really scared at first because she thought it was her dead husband. Like, she said because he always said that, oh, he would never leave her, he would never leave the house or whatever, so she would talk to it like it was him. But after a while, she started to feel like, yeah, it's probably not him, it just wasn't, the Francis energy, you know what I mean, I guess. So one night, she's sleeping in the bed, and she said she felt like a really strong presence in the room, and it like woke her up, and then she felt somebody sitting on the foot of the bed, and she said that you could just like feel that it was evil or whatever. So the mom at this point is like, yeah, that's not my dead husband, so maybe I need to do something about this. So she calls her son Bob, who obviously is a paranormal investigator, and she's like, you need to come over and check this shit out, because like I said, some haunting shenanigans are going on over here. Now, he said, even though he grew up in the house and he had all that scary shit happen to him as a kid, he seemed like he didn't really take it all that seriously at first. Like, he just thought, oh, you know, mom's just wigging out because she's old and this is the first time that she's lived in the house by herself and, you know, she's just getting spooked or whatever. So he didn't really take it all that seriously. He's like, I'm just going to go, like, look around and investigate just to make her feel better. You know what I mean? He was, like, a little bit condescending about it. So he goes there and he does like some EVP shit and all that other kind of stuff. But he said he doesn't feel anything unusual. He doesn't feel any like dark energy or oppressive anything or anybody watching him or nothing like that. He said it just felt normal. But then when he's doing the investigation, he said that he heard footsteps like coming toward him. And then he said he suddenly felt like a presence in front of him. And then he also felt like nausea and like anxiety, like his heart speeded up or something like that. So he's starting to think, oh shit, maybe there is something in the house. So he basically just tells mom, well, tell you what, just get the house blessed. But he doesn't tell her about like what he felt or anything. He's trying to like downplay it because he doesn't want to scare her, but she kind of knew that he was doing that, and you know what I mean, like that he wasn't being entirely truthful. So he decides he's going to bring in his team, which is like two other people. I think their names were Jim and Mary, I think is what they were. Mary was the sensitive, the psychic person. So she goes in first, and she's like most of the psychics on the show is always like, I always want them to not tell me anything about anything, blah, blah, blah. So you know what I mean? So she goes into the house, and in the living room, she said, she sensed the presence of a man and woman like sitting or around the couch, which was the same place that Dementia Dad had seen the two ghosts. And they thought that he was just like seeing shit. But now Bob is like, oh, maybe Dad did see something, and now I feel kind of bad because we were just like, oh, there's nothing there. But maybe he was like really seeing something because I guess this woman didn't know anything about that. So Mary goes into Bobby's old bedroom and, you know, senses the evil presence in there. And she's like, yeah, we also need to investigate the cellar, and we're going to battle that dark entity as we do. So they go down to the cellar, and they said it was, like, real heavy and oppressive down there, like something bad happened, like some kind of tragedy. Now, the psychic says that there are spirits attached to the land, but not the house, necessarily. And she said that she had a vision of a body being carried and dumped on the property. And then she looks over in the corner of the basement and sees the hooded scary dude. And describes it to Bob, and apparently she saw the thing in the same place that he saw it when he was a kid, and it looked the same as, like, when she described it, it looked the same as what he had seen. So to him, that seemed like vindication, because she's like, oh, okay, I wasn't imagining it because she saw the same thing. Like I said, I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's what they said anyway. So the team, like, stays overnight in the house while Dorothy, the mom, is sleeping. And they're looking at the photos, and in one of the photos, like, most of the photos aren't of anything, but, like, obviously there's one of them was an orb in it, and we're just like, oh, okay, whatever, an orb. But then this orb is, like, a special orb, because this orb has a demon face in it.
Right.
Which, he's, like, looking at, he blows it up, and he's like, oh my god, it's the same demon face. I'm like...
So obviously, they took the mask of the actor of the
and, like, and photoshopped it. Into the, yeah.
I want to see the original shit. See,
well, see, they never show it though. I mean, we always say that. We always say
I'm like,
that.
You got a fucking photograph of a whole demon face, and you're not gonna fucking let us see the original. You're gonna, oh, we're gonna hide that. That's too good. You know?
we can't let you please look at it.
Or like, oh, the demon face. Yeah, we lost that. You know, we lost it. You lost the photograph of the demon's face. Okay.
Either that, or they'll say, like, well, we all saw it, but then, like, when we went back to look at it the next day, it was gone.
Yeah.
Like, the thing was gone. It looked like a normal picture. Or they'll come up with something like that. It's always some excuse why they can't show it to you.
They can't show you the original.
Right. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, this videotape that I had with all this evidence on it. Oh, yeah. Somehow it got magically erased, or, you know. Yeah. What I mean?
Can't show you this.
They always have some kind of excuse, you know? Just convenient. That's all I'm saying. So while they're looking at the demon face orb, apparently someone invisible is sitting on mom's bed and kind of, like, pushing her. She said she felt like two hands on her back.
This sounded erotic.
I know. She's like, oh, well, maybe it is her husband after all.
They're pushing you on your back. Pushing you on over.
Yeah.
Raise it up.
Oh, my goodness. This is getting into a whole weird area here, isn't it? Cross-dimensional fuckery.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a whole...
It's got to happen eventually.
There's a whole subgenre of erotica. Yeah. It's like ghosts and humans.
Yeah.
There was even a couple movies like that. Truly, Madly, Deeply was the one that comes to mind.
Ghost of Mrs. Muir.
Yeah, there you go. There was another one, too, that I saw that happened that took place in Wales. What the fuck was the name of that? I can't remember the name, but it was pretty good. So Bob decides, because the ghost is getting a little aggressive with Mom there, that he's going to move Mom in with him because he thinks, you know, the ghost is going to hurt her or something like that. So at this point, they call in good old Bishop McKenna. Like I said, he's a Warren's associate. I'm sure he's been on other cases, too, but... It just seems like whenever they, because it's Connecticut, you know what I mean, where the Warrens, that's kind of the Warren stomping ground. So whenever they needed, like, a big muckety muck religious person to come in, they always called this dude. So he comes in to do a blessing on the house, and they said they noticed, like, or the psychic or whatever, like, noticed that the spirits seemed a lot more agitated, like, when he came in, because, you know, he just pisses all the spirits off when he comes in to, like, oh, this asshole. So then there's, like, a whispery voice, and then I put McKenna falls downstairs, but I guess he didn't really fall downstairs. I guess he just kind of went, whoa, like the thing pushed him or something like that. I don't know. So at this point, they're all kind of down there doing this exorcism kind of jazz, like, down in the basement, and they were all kind of feeling like the demon really, really did not want to leave. And they all said that they felt, like, really weak and worn out. And they were like, well, they thought maybe it wasn't gonna work because the demon was being a real asshole and, like, was not wanting to leave despite all of their prayers and whatnot. Now, after a while, like, I guess they did this for a while, and Bob was like, well, at the end of the exorcism, I was pretty sure that I thought it worked. But then later that night, and this was not super clear. Later on that night, it seemed as though the demon pulled the old sheet trick again.
Yeah.
Trying to get him to join the clan.
Yeah.
You know, drink. I'm gonna
put a little bit of that in there.
Okay. Right. Where he like pulled the sheet and like could just pull it like tight against him like he was gonna suffocate him or whatever.
Yeah.
So that happened and I was like, wow, that would be really alarming if that happened in real life. But then I thought he said something like the way that he phrased it made me think that it was a dream. Because then he kind of came, they showed it, and then he kind of came and said, well, I'm having nightmares like that, so that must mean that the demon isn't gone, or that the exorcism didn't work. And I was like, so are you saying that that really happened, or that that was a dream, or what's the deal?
Must have been a dream. That's what I was saying. Some of this episode's kind of confusing, because it does some of that. And when you're watching it, your mind will kind of skip right over it without really analyzing real quickly. They kind of trick you.
Right.
He probably was dreaming it.
That was the impression I got. But yeah. They wanted to make it seem like he wasn't.
Like it really happened.
But the way that he phrased it like afterward, I was like, wait, you sounded like you just said that it was a dream.
Right.
Which made me wonder, like, when the sheet shit happened to him as a kid.
The sheet shit. Yeah.
When that happened to him as a kid, was that a dream too then? Because they made you think that that really happened.
Yeah. No, I think that really did happen. I think.
Like it flew in the window and...
I think so.
Tried to suffocate him?
Man, I had to see it again. I think it did happen.
You watched it more recently than I did.
Yeah, but I'd have to see it again. Some of that shit, you just kind of skim over it.
Yeah, that's true.
Without really analyzing.
Well, I'm trying to pay attention, but I'm also trying to like write notes down at the same time.
So much happens so quickly, sometimes you can't absorb it.
Yeah.
You know, this happens and then this happens and this happens and you forgot it.
Right. So the fact that this whole sheet thing happened again, whether in a dream or in reality, we're not entirely sure, indicates to Bob that the exorcism did not work. So he says, over the next few months, they keep going back to the house and keep doing, like, blessings and exorcism, like, all different kinds. You know what I mean? I don't know how many kinds there are, but they're doing all the different kinds. But apparently nothing works. They call Bishop McKenna back again, and he does a second deal with holy incense, and this made us laugh really hard because they're like, so he wanted to make sure that every corner in the house had like incense in it.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they have him coming out of the house, yeah. And there's literally like smoke like billowing out of it. I'm like, did they burn it down? What the fuck is going on?
They must have smoke in every corner of the room.
I'm like, they weren't kidding.
Yeah, they fumigated the fuck.
I was like, they bug bombed it.
And they had to come back a week later?
Yeah, that's then they said a week later. I was like, it took a week to clear the smoke out?
Yeah.
How much fucking incense did he pump into that shit? It was just like so funny. I thought was like Bishop McKenna, it would be funny if he like came out and he just like, the demon is too strong to like fuck this place, and he just like throws a match and it blows up or something, because there's just like all of this smoke coming out, like he just decided, fuck it, I'm just gonna burn it down. That's like what I thought. I don't know, it was just like really funny to me, like all that smoke coming out, and then the fact that they said that they had to stay away for a week because I said it was just like they fumigated it like I did in my apartment back in the old days. So Bob and Jim, which I think was the other guy's name, like on his paranormal team, they keep going back to the house because they still keep trying, you know, they're going to try and defeat the demon or whatever. And so they're in there like sitting at the kitchen table, and they start hearing footsteps again. And then they both kind of like stand up, and he said they felt like they were both having heart attacks, which in a way... That would be fucked up if that really happened.
Yeah, they got
but it's, like, kind of funny the way... Because they're both kind of, like, clutching their chests and, like, you know, flailing around on the floor and stuff. Yeah. Like, both of them at the same time. And I was like, okay, that's a little silly. But, yeah, so, yeah, spiritual attack. Yeah. So they both felt like they were, like, their hearts were racing or whatever. So they're like, okay, well, we need to get the fuck out of here. So they both, like, ran out the fuck out of the house and, like, in the yard. So Jim basically says they're just like out in the yard going, you know, like all like that. So Jim's like, we can't do this anymore. The demon, it's too strong for us. It's too strong for us. So, you know, maybe it could kill us, you know, which that, you know, that sounds fair. So Bob says, yeah, I think you're right. And we're just gonna, this whole shit is like a write off. And Bob says that he never went back to the house, and he didn't let his mom go back either. And he said he felt really bad because... you know, the his mom, like, I guess his granddad had built that house, like, for her, and they had lived in it, like, their whole entire lives, and she apparently left all her shit in there. Like, they just left all of it there, and she wouldn't go back in the house afterward. That's what they said, anyway.
That's the story we're giving.
That's the story. Yeah, I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just saying what they said on the show. Yeah, I'm making no claim for how true any of
this
is. They
left it there for a few weeks, and then the movers came and picked it up.
And they get it. Yeah, well, like, yeah, because you can just get movers. Yeah, like, even if you didn't want to go back in the house because it's haunted, you could be like, well, you just pay some movers to go in there and just get all my shit out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But, I was, because, you know, I have to make jokes about stuff, but. There was, like, a scene where Bob, you know, the actor that was playing Bob, was talking to the actor playing the mom, and he was saying, I feel so bad, like, I didn't help you, and, like, you can't even move back in your house now, and, you know, I let you down, or something like that. And then, of course, I had to make the joke, like, as the mom, I was like, you've let me down your whole entire life, Bob. Why should now be any different? Yeah. But no, sorry, I'm just being mean. But yeah, so he said he felt really bad because he couldn't help her, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's a demon, what are you gonna do? It was too strong for them, and I guess they couldn't do anything about it. So I guess the mom, like, kept staying with him, you know, from thence forward, and they said that the narrator says neither one of them ever went back to the house, and no one else did either. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I find it hard to believe that that house was empty all that time. I mean, because you still got to pay for it, right?
Yeah. What is it? Go to the state? Becomes part of the county?
Well, I mean, after a while, if it was paid off, then it would still belong. Well, if it was paid off, it would still belong to you, so you could technically abandon it, and it would just sit there and rot.
Yeah.
But if you still had a mortgage on it, then after a while, the bank would foreclose on it, and then they would resell it, like, for a much lower price to try to recoup some of the cost on it.
Or not.
Or tear it down.
Yeah. The bank owns a lot of shit that's just sitting there rotting to this day.
Yeah, well, I mean, I imagine they own a lot of stuff and they don't have the resources to, like, fuck with it. So I don't really know. So I don't know what ended up happening to the house. You know what I mean? They said that nobody else ever lived in there, but I don't know if that's the case or not. Like I said, I find that hard to believe, but, you know, that could possibly be true. And I think this show came out in 2012?
Okay.
Yeah, I think season 5 was 2012. Okay. So I don't know, like, if the mom is still alive. She looked pretty spry, like, on this show. She didn't look terribly old, so... So she might still be around. I'm not really entirely sure.
It was a good episode.
Yeah. This was a fun episode. Yeah. But like you said, the ones that... Because there were a couple... episodes, like the one with Billy Bean and all that kind of stuff, where it's kind of like, oh, I had all this weird shit happen to me, like, as a kid, and then I got older and became a paranormal investigator, and then I ended up going back to the same house. So I think the same thing happened to Billy Bean, right?
Basically, yeah.
Right, like, so...
Similar. Wasn't the same house, I don't think, was it?
I thought it was the same house, or his parents' house, or something, like, or, maybe. You know, something. I don't remember. But it's. I kind of feel like it. So this was one of those subgenres.
There's a religious narrative to it. There's a lot of this. Yeah, I was a kid and I was a sinner and I saw the devil and then later I became saved and went back and fought it and won.
Yeah. See, that's
that. But that's not exactly what happened in this one. But that's the basic story.
Yeah, because this one wasn't... I mean, they called in the bishop and everything like that, but this one wasn't, like, super, super religious-y.
Right.
Even though it was about a demon and shit like that, but nobody saw any angels or, you know, anything like that. So it wasn't... I don't know. It was kind of religious-y, but not as religious-y as some of them are.
Yeah. Salvation stories.
Yeah, that's why I'm always really skeptical about... I mean, I'm kind of skeptical about all of them, but I'm going to be more inclined to believe ones that didn't really have a religious component to them, where that was just... And also didn't have, like, a narrative component to them, where it's just like, we moved into this house and just this weird random shit happened and we couldn't explain it, the end.
And preacher salvation stories, they come in a lot more varieties than just paranormal. Some preachers will have a paranormal background, some preachers will have... a background in prison. Oh, I was a criminal, a Satanist. I fucking sacrificed babies. I went to prison for a million years.
They did not.
Became saved and came out. And now I'm free and now I'm a preacher and I'm helping all you people. That's another one. Another one is, I was a bad girl, fell to a life of sin and drugs, became a porn star, blah, 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 fucked a billion dudes. And but now I'm saved and now I'm fucking a
billion
preacher.
Dudes. She was busy.
And I married your preacher, so I'm the wife of a preacher, you know. And I mean, I ain't no hoe. You know, it's a salvation story. You know, it's an anti-hoe story.
And to be honest, I think a lot of that shit is made up. Probably. I mean, obviously.
Probably. Well, there are confirmed porn actresses that became preachers.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. But I'm saying, like, the real outlandish ones that were like, oh, I was in a satanic cult and we ate babies and stuff like
that. That was 80s shit.
I'm like, you did not. Knock it off.
They had dudes. I remember that they had dudes in the 80s that were claiming that.
Yeah.
In the 80s. Remember that dude?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like he showed up on Geraldo or something.
Because they knew all about it. Because it's like, I knew
all about it. I was born in a
in your fucking imagination. Man, fuck dude. Get the fuck out of here.
Made that shit up.
They did.
I know exactly what Judas Priest lyrics mean.
It's just, it's very silly.
Breaking the law is about, it's about breaking God's commandments. It has nothing to do with crime. All right.
Yeah, I guess I never even thought of that.
What's that?
I never thought that it could be interpreted that way.
Yeah.
I always just thought of it as just like, oh, I'm breaking the law. I'm driving really fast like I'm doing.
In the lyrics, Rob Halford plainly says that he's out of work and down and he's so frustrated. It's a trip from town to town. They don't know what it's like. Nobody even cares. I don't care. If you were like me, you'd be doing the same thing too. I'm breaking the law. He just becomes a criminal.
So just like a non-specific criminal.
Well, you hear breaking glass in the background of a song, so he's stealing shit.
He's looting.
He's looting shit, yeah.
So I'm taking this.
Breaking into business. Taking this stealing TV. Shit, taking TVs. And, yeah.
Stealing some VCRs.
Breaking the law.
And then fencing them.
Yeah.
That'd be really funny if like Rob Halford was fencing VCRs.
Yeah. Hey, man, fucking, you know what
I mean? The outfit.
Leather daddies have a respect for crime. Man takes what he wants.
He opens his leather coat and there's like all these like watches and stuff. Yeah, hey, you want to watch?
That's right. Only a hoe would have shit taken from him. That's right. You'll take some shit from somebody else. They owe it to you.
Society owes me a VCR. Man takes what he wants. Yeah, I guess so.
It's dominant as fuck. Yeah.
That's pretty hilarious.
Yeah. I understand the leather. Let me talk about. I understand the total high testosterone leather daddy mentality, man. Fucking, I know exactly what they're talking about.
Breaking the law. Breaking.
Yeah.
We were listening to that in the car the other day. That's what I was thinking.
Fucking, I love Judas Priest.
It's on my Spotify.
70s Judas Priest was the best though. Like Sad Wings of Destiny and Sin After Sin. Back when it was kind of slightly prog rock and fucking, the lyrics were better. If you ask me, like Sinner, fucking great song, man.
Their lyrics are pretty good. I do kind of feel like I think the one of the reasons that I never got real into metal and stuff like that is like a lot of the lyrics are really like on the nose.
Yeah, they're on the nose. But not like
Anvil level. That's the ultimate
bullshit. Right. Speaking about Mothra and shit.
And they're just describing what's happening in the movie.
Nah, fucking Halford. Fucking, now we're going on Halford, which is the paranormal show.
Well, that's okay, we're done.
We're done. No, like in the song Sinner, fucking Halford is basically just fucking, he's basically singing a fucking love song to his fucking stylized fucking fantasy fucking leather daddy, which is this fucking war demon that comes out of the ground and fucking sets people on fire and makes their blood boil just by thinking about him, and he just fucking soaks up the souls of the damned through all the fucking all the battlefields of the earth. It's just hyper masculinity. They're sexualizing hyper masculinity. Only a gay dude could do it. Only a leather dude could think that far. All right. As a professional soldier, I never come up with any shit like that. I just sexualize it. He's sexualizing it. How sexy that is. Yeah. Not only the dudes that are dying, but these demons that are getting off on it and making it happen.
Sexy?
And they're
sexy
fucking,
demons.
Yeah, spreading his fucking wings over the fucking damned and shit. Halford just wants to fuck that demon. That's what he's singing about. How he loves that demon. Something else.
Intriguing.
That's his mind is fucking, Yeah.
That's also another subgenre of erotica.
Yeah.
Demon fucking.
Yeah, basically. Basically, it's a love song to that demon. He thinks that's the ultimate dude. Well, a lot of his fucking songs are like that. The fucking Exciter was about that. Just a fucking extra-dimensional being that comes down and fucks shit up. And, you know, he believes it. Fucking The Painkiller is like that. All of his songs are like that. Fucking,
That's why they're
supernatural,
rad.
Godlike dudes that fuck shit up. And fucking Halford loves it. He does. Yeah, yeah.
It's his favorite thing.
It's his favorite fucking thing.
Mark says turbo lever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zach says a man knows what a man wants.
Yeah. I understand it.
Tom understands.
Yeah, I don't go that way, but I understand it. I understand it, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's because it's just
if I was
like,
gay, I would definitely be that way. It definitely.
Yeah, you would for sure.
Yeah. I'd be a fucking leather daddy. I'd just take what I want. I don't give a fuck. I don't care about going to jail about it. Roll over. Compared to me, you are a woman. This isn't even gay. This is okay.
That's the excuse he's got to use anyway. Right.
Yeah.
Whatever, Tom. Whatever helps you sleep at night.
Okay.
I'm just fucking with you. No, I'm laughing at it. I just thought of this.
Yeah.
I was at work today, and he he sent me a message and said, what did you say? You said something. It was like an audio message, and I couldn't listen to it until later. And he said, I'm going to cheat on you and go to Koi Wan.
Yeah. Food cheating.
And I said, oh, food cheating. You suck. Yeah. And then he sent me like a little video of him at Koi Wan, and I was like, you eating. Dirty whore.
Yeah, drinking. I showed him a video. I was fucking making a big deal about it. I'm sitting there drinking.
Because we didn't go to Koi Wan this weekend.
Yeah.
Like we usually go.
Yeah.
But we didn't this weekend because we didn't have a lot of money, and it was just like, it's kind of far, so we didn't go.
This is
so
me.
But he went today on his motorcycle while I was at work, and I was like, oh, you suck.
Rubbing that shit in, too.
And he was rubbing it in. I'm cheating on you and going to Koi Wan.
Yeah, where did it go? Oh, shit.
Oh, and then after that you said I was like, ooh, food cheating, and you said, yeah, no condom either.
Yeah, and then I said,
you dirty whore.
Yeah. No condom or anything. I attacked the fucking shrimp.
I was going to say, he's like raping the shrimp.
They had all those fucking, you know, the boiled shrimp, the chilled boiled shrimp and the cocktail sauce. I get a whole fucking plate of that.
He will. Actually, I think last time we went, you got two plates of that.
I did.
One to start out and one to finish up.
I got a big fucking plate like that, and I had an empty plate underneath it for the shells.
Yeah, that's how we have a whole system.
You got a whole system, and then you squeeze a lemon on yourself.
Yeah, you always take like two or three lemons, right. So you can squeeze your.
Yeah, and then I went and got a whole plate of steak because they had steak. The steak was good. It was medium rare too.
Yeah,
man, the steak was good.
Really,
so steak and shrimp, and I ate that like twice, and then I ate like three bowls of ice cream.
God damn.
Little bowls, though.
Every time we go there, like, I can eat, like, about a plate and a half, and then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to barf. And it's like, he just keeps eating and eating. I'm like, where are you putting it? My grandma used to say, do you have a hollow leg?
Yeah.
That's what my grandma used to say.
I had that strawberry ice cream, and I'm eating it, and I'm going, this isn't strawberry. And the Chinese waitress came by to pick up the plate, and I said, what is this? And she looked at it, and she goes, and I go, that's not strawberry. And she goes, no, maybe raspberry? And I went, no. It's not raspberry. And I take it. And I go, it's red. She goes, yeah, it's red.
It's red flavor.
It's red flavor.
Just chill out.
It was definitely not strawberry.
Well, see, it's mystifying because sometimes they have ice cream in there, and they always have, it's always eight buckets. And they usually have two of each flavor. They usually have green tea, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry maybe, and butter pecan, which is good, which is random, but it's good because I like butter pecan. But the
pistachio, and I've had mint chocolate chip in there too, though.
Yeah, but the last few times we've been, those have been the flavors. But then one time we went, and they had two red ones, and you would presume that they were both strawberry, but you ate one, and you're like, I'm pretty sure this is cherry and not strawberry.
Yeah.
And so now every time, like, he has to sample both of the red ones and see if they're the same.
Well, this was another red one. It didn't have any strawberries in it. It was not strawberry. It was red, though.
What other flavor?
Something foreign.
Maybe it's red bean.
Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe it's red bean.
It was something foreign. It didn't taste like any kind. It tasted like a fruit, but not any kind of fruit I've ever had. It was just kind of like real sweet vanilla with like, there's just no way to describe it, red.
So it's maybe it was red bean ice cream. Because I kind of feel like cherry ice cream, which they don't have much. Cherry ice cream is usually white, like with chunks of cherry in it. Is it not? Or like cherry swirl?
No, it'll be cherry with cherry in it.
Yeah,
that one time was cherry.
Tammy said rhubarb. Oh yeah, maybe. You think it was rhubarb?
There's no telling. It was just sweet.
I was thinking red bean because they have green tea flavor there, and sometimes they have, like, red bean flavor,
It was too. Just sweet. It didn't have any of the tartness of any kind of fruit. It was just kind of sweet.
Huh.
I was saying it almost kind of tasted a little bit like rose.
Oh.
Almost like rose flavor, kind of.
Maybe
like
that. Honey. Maybe that's what it was.
Like a honey kind of.
Because I think they do have, like, some... Don't they have, like, a rose?
It was something.
Like with rose hip or something like that?
It's just what it kept reminding me of. Like vanilla and rose and a little bit of honey or something.
Hmm. That sounds kind of good, actually.
Yeah, it was good. It just wasn't strawberry. It wasn't fruit.
Right. Zach says, Tom and Jen, y'all are total relationship goals.
What?
We're total relationship goals.
What does that mean?
That means that that he wants a relationship like we have.
Who said this?
Zach did.
Oh, Zach? Yeah.
Just because I called you a dirty whore for going to the fucking...
Yeah.
For going,
no condom.
For going...
No condom.
Fucking the koi walk.
I went bareback into that. Bareback into the Chinese buffet.
Well, you, like, with the video, like, it looked like nobody was in there, but I guess it's
they had me in the back.
Oh, okay. They put you in the bed. They're like, you go in the back all by yourself.
Well, just because it was full in the front, and they didn't want to go on the side.
Because that was Monday, so I didn't know if that was, like, it was crowded.
And they had a huge party. And huge party.
On a Monday? Weird.
Yeah, and it was Koreans. The Korean family. I recognized the faces and the size, and I could hear a little bit of Hangul. Koreans.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew it fucking confirmed it in my fucking mind when the old man, the oldest of the old, they're all in suits, like they came back from church.
Right.
Some kind of church thing. Because they're Christians, you know. And it was some kind of church thing, or wedding, maybe. Or, you know, something. And the oldest of them, like the patriarch, went walking, and he's walking, stooped over with his hands behind his back, walking like a fucking general. And that's the damn Korean.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Walking around with his hands clasped behind their back.
Like, walking like he's like
running
a G.
Everything. Like he's running everything. Like a G. You know, he's running all this shit. You know, he's in charge of it.
This is all my shit, Randy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything is mine.
Y'all gotta do what I say.
You are only here because I'm allowing you to be here. Okay.
Tammy says, I'll do that to my husband when I go back to Pennsylvania to visit my mom. I'll go to our favorite restaurant and send him videos. rub it in his face.
Yeah. Food cheating. That's what I call it.
I just laughed because, like I said, he sent me an audio message and I was in the office, so I couldn't listen to it until I went outside. Then I went outside and heard it and I just busted up laughing. I'm going to go cheat on you as I'm going to Koi Wan.
I'm going to go cheat on you.
I just laughed and laughed. Yeah. Zach says, my dad has been obsessed with coffee ice cream this past year and it's the most boring flavor ever to me. I really like coffee ice cream, but generally if it's got like chunks in it, I like chocolate.
With the beans.
Like chocolate chunks in it.
I've had with the beans in there too.
With
coffee beans.
Actually, do they have coffee flavored ice cream with like chocolate covered espresso beans in there?
Probably.
Because that would be, make my eyeballs vibrate, but holy shit, it would be really good. I love chocolate covered espresso beans, by the way. All right, so I guess we're going to wrap this up because we're done.
We're entertaining all these people.
We're done farting around. We're done farting around. But tomorrow night, I don't know, maybe you might go to bike night. I got a Zoom meeting tomorrow night with some freelance work I got to do tomorrow night. But Wednesday night is our main show, obviously, and we're going to do more true crime, which you know that's Jenny's favorite. We're doing Robert Hansen, otherwise known as the Butcher Baker.
I don't know.
The serial killer.
Okay.
You would probably... Alaskan hunted people in the wilderness.
Okay, starting to sound familiar. Yeah.
1960s? 60s. Or 70s, I think it was.
He must have read that Most Dangerous Game.
Yeah, that's what everybody says that. He seemed like a real prize. But he only just died in 2014.
It was women he was hunting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd pick up prostitutes and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Hooker hunting.
Yeah, that's what he was doing.
They're bad. I got to punish them.
Yeah, that's essentially.
Yeah.
that's the essence of the story right there.
I'm trying to get a relationship up in this motherfucker. Y'all selling the pussy, running into the ground. Fucking everything up, bending the wheels on it, fucking hubcaps flying off. You're supposed to be a fine car, and you're running it into the ground. I'm trying to protect it.
Pussy hubcaps.
Pussy hubcaps flying off it. Abusing it. Man like me needs a relationship, and you're just running into the ground over the money. Y'all are bad. That's the thinking.
Can we please make, you had too much to drink.
Too much to drink. I'm winding up.
Can we make pussy hubcaps a thing though?
Yeah, pussy hubcaps. You could walk around wearing them if you got.
Clank, clank, clank.
Yeah, yeah. They got fur around the rim.
Yeah, we better knock it off before he gets any more. Before he gets any more out of control. All right. So, yeah, be sure to drop by on Wednesday. We're going to talk about Robert Hansen, serial killer. So that should be a good show. So have a good rest of your evening, you guys. And thanks for dropping by and hanging out with us. And we will see you again on Wednesday. Good night.